I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie and Mark.
Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to the first episode of the season of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewisall. With me, as always, is the big guy, Fred Pfeiffer. Fred, how you doing, buddy? Long time, good time.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, I'm on cloud nine. I mean, it always feels good when your suspicions are justified about the team being better than most people expect. And after three games, how can you give this team anything but an A+, you know? It's just unbelievable how good they've looked. I didn't expect them to dominate Indiana like that and to win, you know, just follow that up with a dominating road performance, the first one of the year with a 30-point victory over the Nets. The arrow looks up, man. I don't know what else to say. What say you?
I didn't expect this. I mean, we both, you know, were optimistic about this team. We both thought that this was definitely a playoff team. You know, nobody's giving them credit. I mean, my God, from the preseason predictions to just absolutely everything I've seen. I had a huge conversation the other day. I was at Liz getting a cup set because I needed a cup set because, you know, I'm back on the bandwagon. And I had an hour-long conversation literally with the guy at Liz and him telling me we should have blown up the team. And for guy at Liz, for everyone out there, the Bulls right now are ranking first in the league in points per game. They are fifth in the Eastern Conference in opponents' points per game. They have a point differential of 17.7, which is second in the league only to the Atlanta Hawks. What an amazing start. They have broken a lot of records so far with this season. I mean, the last game against the Pacers, they had the most points in the game that they had since 2012, 2013. And then tonight they beat that. And so tonight, it was like the most points that they've had in a game since like, it was like 2006, man. It was sometime that was a really long time ago. I think it was 2006. But this team is rolling. We had like 65 points at the half. It was the most amount of points that we've had in a half in like 6 years. How can you deny what you're seeing right now? You had seven players score tonight in double figures. You could say what you want about it being the New Jersey Nets, but the fact of the matter is that we've done this now. We've decimated the Indiana Pacers and the New Jersey Nets. We beat the Boston Celtics at home. It takes teams time to gel. And you look at Golden State, you look at the teams that made a lot of changes in the offseason, and they're still gelling. They're not together yet. They ain't working really well. So this team to come out and play so well out of the gate with all these new faces is extraordinary, but this team has something to prove, man. It's nice. They never took their foot off the gas.
There's one familiar face who's really been absolutely stellar, and that's Taj. I mean, he has put up three all-star caliber games just hitting at a high percentage from the field. He's almost money with a wide open, like, 10 to 17-foot jumper. And not only that, he's clearly one of our best, you know, defenders. And he's been just absolutely fantastic, you know, overall, I think. And, to me, Taj and Lopez are so important for that interior defense because that kind of allows Wade and Rondo and Jimmy to play the passing lanes to really play risky in the first quarter. And they scored 38 points in the first quarter tonight because of it. And when you've got a guy like Taj and Lopez to clean up the mess, go for the steals. Do that. Play that way. And, they scored 38 points in the first quarter of this game. I tweeted that was the first time they scored 38 points since the second quarter of the last game. 38 points is a ton of points put up in a quarter. They've managed to do it two games in a row. So, you know, Taj has been awesome. Wade's been just absolutely incredible. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny. I was being sarcastic when I said you add the NBA assist leader, you add Dwayne Wade to this team who's a Hall of Famer still playing at a high level. Yeah, I have no idea why the team looks better. I mean, just think about it. You got a guy who's a pass-first guy, Rondo. He had 13 assists. He had 11 assists, Mark, in the first half against Indiana. To put that in perspective, Rose last year didn't have 11 or more assists in a game all season, an entire game. His high last year for assists was 10, and he hit double digits one time. And, you know, Rondo got that in the first half against Indiana. So it's clear Rondo's a better fit. He's a pass-first guy. When you got Jimmy Butler and Wade on the team, that's what you want out of your point guard, not a guy who's a shoot-first guy. You know, Rose has looked pretty good for the Knicks so far, but, you know, for this team, Rondo's just a better fit, and so far so good.
Yeah, I mean, all across the board, man. Everybody's playing so good. I'm trying to see right now what our where we rank in terms of three-point shooting. We're third in the league in three-point percentage. It looks like we're towards the top in three-point attempted. So, I mean, for every complaint, so we're 15th in the league in three-point attempted, but we're fourth in three-point percentage. Every complaint that people said about this team so far has been incorrect. And it is unbelievable, because I never would have expected. Wade was, what, 4 for 6 in the first game from three? Tonight, I know he hit a couple. I was in and out of the game, so I don't have all the exact stats right in front of me. But everybody's been shooting well. And the amount of ball movement that we had tonight, towards the end, I looked, we had 27 assists. I don't know what we ended with here, and I'll get that all up right here. My computer's being a little bit slow. But I know that we are right now one of the top teams in the league in assists. And the ball movement is just, it's incredible compared to what it was last year. And yeah, I'm thinking, what is the big difference? Like, why are we able to do this after struggling so much last year? And don't take for granted the teams that we've played so far, because this is the first time the Bulls have started the season 3-0 since 1996-1997. The first time. And the New Jersey Nets, how many times have we lost to the Nets over the last few years? I mean, no games were gimmies ever last year. So to go in, to beat a team that you were supposed to beat by a lot, and then to beat two teams that you probably weren't supposed to beat by, well, one of them by a lot. It's by the end of this week, I think you're going to have a much better idea of who this team is, because we got Boston coming up, we got the Knicks this week at home, and you got the Pacers. Both Boston and the Pacers are going to be playing on their home floor. So let's see how we play against them. But if this continues, then through the end of the week, we're still playing great basketball. We don't have to be undefeated for the whole year. I mean, obviously, that would be absolutely insane. But right now, we are looking like one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. We're looking like one of the better teams in the league. Now, is that going to continue? I don't know, but man, so far so good.
Yeah, well, you can't continue shooting at this rate from three, and I see a lot of haters pointing that out. Like, oh yeah, we're going to keep on shooting at this level? No. But you know what is going to continue? They're going to keep on getting to the line against Indiana in the third quarter. I think Wade was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, or Butler was 6 of 6, and Wade was 4 of 4. I can't remember each one, but together they were 10 of 10 from the line. That's going to continue. Those guys get to the line and do a great job of it. Butler got to the line again tonight a ton. And not only that, when they get to the line, they hit at a high percentage. So that and offensive rebounding, and the Bulls have three guards in Butler, Rondo, and Wade, who rebound very well for their position. That's always going to mitigate issues with shooting. And, you know, clearly, the shooting isn't as bad as we thought. When you got a guy like McDermott, who had a rough night shooting tonight, but he was in lights out against Indiana, you know, you're going to mitigate these issues. And it's not as bad as we thought.
Nico's playing well. But the biggest thing, right?
Did you see him fire up what was like a 35-footer tonight and sink that from the top of the key? I mean, that's the one issue I have with him is, you know, I don't know if that's going to help, right? I mean, it's great that he's hitting it, but I want to see him do a little bit better on shot selection. But overall, the guy's clearly got talent, and he's had some really nice moments so far in the first three games.
Let me share this with you, Fred. Do you know that we're tied for first in the league right now for assists per game?
Wow. They're moving the ball incredibly well, and not only that, they're pushing
the
ball. They're really actively pushing it. That's completely due to Rondo. It's like night and day with them, how they were walking it up last year. Now they're fast breaking. They're getting good shots. Tonight, that was, for me, the best moment of the year, where it was Rondo to Wade to Butler for the dunk. I don't know if you saw that in the first half. Best play of the year. You couldn't imagine a better start. And I think a ton of it has to do with Tom's, as I said before, a ton of it has to do with Jimmy just playing his you know, all-star self. But Wade just brings that intangible of being a winner and bringing those things that you just can't teach. And he's clearly playing at still a very high level.
Yeah, don't let his assist do the talking, because he hasn't had to play in the fourth quarter for two games in a row now. The fact is that if we keep playing like this, Wade's going to be fresh as a clam for the playoffs, man. I mean, it's really blowing my mind how good this team looks. It's just blowing my mind. And I guess we'll see. I mean, the end of this week, I'm letting the week play out. I'm trying not to get too excited, but by the end of this week, you're going to have a good idea, I think, of just, is this for real or is this not? But it's like, you know, stats don't lie to some degree. The numbers just don't lie, and it's just, we've come out of the gate, hot as hell, man.
Well, what doesn't lie is...
Gosh, taking 25 free throw attempts a game, so we're definitely in the top in the league for free throw attempts a game. We're up there.
what doesn't lie is dominant wins, and they've got two of them, where they've just blown the doors off the teams. It's, you know, I think it was 17 or 18-point win over the Pacers in 30-9. You know, so those kind of things, that doesn't lie. I mean, if you're beating teams like that in the NBA, I don't care, you know, what team it is, that's you're doing something right. So just an A plus so far. I mean, there's nothing you could possibly criticize the team about. Now, I think it's a huge loss if MCW is hurt. Michael Carter Williams went down today. I've been really impressed with him as a backup point guard, especially on the defensive end. Defensive end, he's been phenomenal. And I think that's a huge loss if you lose him. That's the only thing with this team, Mark, that is a little bit of a warning sign for me. The interior defense with Taj and Lopez is A+. It's as good as there is in the league. But after that, there's a pretty big drop-off. I'm not a fan of Felicio on the defensive end. He just picks up too many quick fouls, and he's not as quick, I think, on the rotations as he should be. So, it's a massive drop-off from Taj and Lopez to the next level there defensively. They have some really nice players off the bench offensively, but defensively, I think they're a really good interior defender, sure. You know, 4-minute classic type would be nice. And,
I agree, but I think you see what their strategy is, and it's going to be we're going to squeeze the teams that we're playing as much as we can at the beginning, try to come out really, really strong, set a tempo. And I like the way that Hoiberg overall has been distributing the minutes.
Totally agree with you.
I wanted to get rid of Hoiberg, obviously. I mean, I was never a Hoiberg fan, but right now, this is Hoiberg. I mean, this is the way that he wanted to play. You listen to Dwayne Wade, and Dwayne Wade says that Fred Hoiberg is the reason the three-point shot has improved so much. And if people want to say that he's not going to keep shooting like this, I want you to remember that in these three games, Wade has taken more threes than he did all last year. He had months last year where he took less threes than he took in that first game against Boston. Entire month. And overall, at this point, you see the way that he's distributing the minutes. You see the way that we're moving the ball. This is the way that Fred Hoiberg always wanted to play, creating spacing, moving the ball from side to side. This is a Fred Hoiberg offense, and I never thought that we had the talent to be able to play like this offensively. Whether this continues or not, who knows? But we were stagnant on offense last year, time and time and time again. I mean, completely stagnant. And it seems to be a team concept. Like, you could tell nobody was buying into it last year. It was just isolation. And this year, I mean, obviously they're buying into it. Everyone's buying into it. I mean, we're moving the ball and we're playing the way that he wants to play. So far, I'm going to say, I mean, whatever. I'm glad we stuck with him because we'll see how things end up, or how things unfold. But at the moment, I'm as optimistic as I've ever been about this team. I mean, this team looks great.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. I mean, just the proof is in the pudding. They've just been phenomenal. You know, one thing, too, I wanted to point out was in that first game, and I was watching against the Celtics game, when there was one play, top of the key, Wade had the ball, and he rolls off the pick off Felicio. Two guys follow him, and he does this pass to Felicio for a dunk. One time, Felicio drew a foul, but they did it again, and he actually finished it. And that kind of pass is such a high degree of skill level to make something like that. The guy just has this feel for the game that is so clearly above and beyond what anybody else on the court has. He's just such a smart player. He knows when to push it, when not to. He knows when to, you know, pick his spots. I mean, I didn't expect him to be this good. You know, I knew he was great, but not when you're watching him three games. And every quarter has been a play where I've been like, gosh, this guy, he's just so freaking smart. And to me, him and Taj have been the two guys that have really been the difference so far. So if Taj keeps on playing like this, he's going to make the All-Star team. I mean, this guy's on the biggest bargain contract in the league right now. And if he keeps on playing at this level, it's going to be, there's no doubt he should be an All-Star. I mean, he's doing it on defensive end, and he's hitting every shot, basically. He's got to be shooting 60% on the season.
Yeah, I don't know the statistics in front of me. I can have them in a minute. I actually had Isaiah Conan's statistics in front of me. 15 points tonight, 3 for 4 from 3, 6 assists. So, you know, we might be in decent hands if Michael Carter Williams is going to miss some time. I wouldn't be surprised if he does, because it certainly did not look good when he went down. It looked like looked like there was something bad. But
Cannon had a horrible first game against the Celtics. He played 6 minutes. He had several wide open threes, bricked every one. And then tonight, you're right. I saw him tonight, and he looked like a different player. He's got to hit those open threes. I'm not super high on him. Like, I think there's a pretty big drop off if he's going to be our point guard from him and MC, as a backup point guard from him and MCW. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You know, if he can continue to hit the three, I guess we're all good. Because
you know what they said an interesting thing tonight is that Boogie Cousins, DeMarcus Cousins, just got another $25,000 fine. And you know, if you look at this and you look at what's going on in Sacramento, Rondo was on a team last year that didn't follow his lead. He was on a team where the team was a mess. They were all, you know, malcontents doing their own thing. And I like Cousins. He's obviously a very talented player, but this is a team that wasn't buying into Rajon Rondo and what he brings. And it seems like Dallas was that same way, too, that brief stint that he had there. The Bulls are buying into him. And you're seeing this team. I mean, this is all Rajon Rondo, man. I mean, like, he is just he's reading the offense. You know, he's doing the right thing in, like, every single time. And he's the reason we're moving the ball like this, it starts with him. It starts and it ends with him. And the proof is in the pudding. Just look at the Sacramento Kings. Just look at the Sacramento Kings, the issues that they're having right out of the gate. You know, he was getting blamed for the woes of things that have occurred on teams for the last few years, and that's not really fair.
If you look at it, he's won a title. He's been on a team that's been a championship, you know, caliber team for several years at the Celtics, and he learned under a lot of those guys. And if you think he was a problem for the Kings, give me a break. That's exactly the problem is Boogie Cousins and his loser ways. You know, I saw somebody on Twitter, like, mentioned something like, hey, never change Boogie. After he threw his mouthpiece in the stands and got fined $25,000, I'm like, never change. What do you mean never change? This guy's been a loser for every freaking year he's been in the NBA. Never change? How about you change immediately if you want to start winning? If you're going to have this attitude, this freaking loser attitude every time that you're playing the game of basketball, not busting your rear in practice. Every time I watch Boogie Cousins, sometimes he's ready to play and he plays fantastic and he's unstoppable and he's top five player in the league skill-wise. And sometimes I watch him and he barely runs from free throw line. So he's not. He better change. I mean, never change. Give me a break. Is that
well,
to be
I'm admired? Play right now. So what he did. So, oh, wow. So there was a charge on him. I'm not really sure, but he got kind of mowed down. He walked into the stands. And
he's a loser.
Up the aisle. You know, he tucked his towel down, and he's just, like, walking up like he's, like, about to walk out of the game.
It's like, you know, this is
interesting. You don't get a popcorn.
Yeah. There's other guys where, you know, they're real superstars where they make everybody else around you better. And, you know, you actually contend for at least a 500 record if you got none but garbage around them. He's not even come close to sniffing 500 in his career so far. And you can blame it on everybody else but him. But it starts and ends with the best player on your team, and he is a loser. And unless he changes his ways, he's going to waste a ton of talent. Because I admit, talent-wise, he's top five in the league. He could do stuff that very few guys can do. And I've seen him. He dominated the Bulls in 2015. The first game of that season, Sacramento beat us. It wasn't the first game. It was the first road trip. He just absolutely dominated Joakim Noah. Then he comes back to United Center later that year, and I'm watching this guy, like, play half speed. The Bulls, I think, won by 20 the next time. That's a loser. He's a loser. So, luckily, you know, he's not a loser, Dwayne Wade. He plays the win every game. I don't see it from this guy.
Yeah, look at the attitude of this team. I mean, it's just so different than it was last year. And it's like, you know, you added Wade, you added Rondo. I mean, and you got rid of Rose. I mean, you have a bunch of young guys, but it's certainly not the young guys that are creating the feel of this team and the way that this team, you know, sounds to be in the locker room. I mean, you could tell, you can watch them and you can tell that there's a different dynamic amongst them than there was last year. And, you know, Rose is playing well right now. He's playing about the same as he did towards the end of last year, 15 points a game, 43% shooting. But there's no way to assist. But there's no way that this would be occurring if Dwayne Wade wasn't on this team. And you're right. I mean, just
there's such a negative attitude from still a large percentage of the fan base, too. You know, like, all you hear are excuses why they were doing, oh, well, both those teams were on the second day of a back-to-back. You know, like, no team's ever had to do that. You know, I guess every time you're on the second day of a back-to-back, you should lose, like, 95% of the time. Let me tell you right now, the Celtics are supposed to be as good as everybody says. They're gonna win a lot of second games of a back-to-back. It's just so idiotic, some of the comments I see. They're just so negative and just so eager to jump on this. And I made this point before. If the situation was reversed, because there's a lot of, newly baptized T-Wolves fans. If the Bulls started out this season with two losses, one of them being to the lowly Kings, and
the T-Wolves started out with a win against Boston, a win against the Pacers, 3-0. Can you imagine the collective outrage on Twitter from the fan base? Can you imagine?
Like, people don't notice because the Cubs are playing, so people don't notice. People don't notice.
I don't know
about
that. I think there's a lot of haters that were – no, the haters are paying attention. They just got to keep their mouth shut now because they look like a bunch of morons. And we're going to go back.
The Timberwolves are giving up 104 points a game. So they're not scoring just like the Bulls used to not score with Tom Thibodeau. Well, they're scoring 100, which, I mean, it's more than he scored with us. But they're giving up 104 points a game. And, I mean, listen, he's had all offseason with this team. I mean, he's had the same amount of time with this team as Fred Hoiberg's had with ours. And, you know, if people want to hate on the fact that Boston is playing the second of a back-to-back, the fact is that is a team that added an all-star to their lineup. And besides that, it's the same team that they had last year. We had a bunch of guys. Our rotation hadn't played yet together. I mean, when we came together in that first game of the season, you really hadn't seen our starters play together. Hoiberg was using all kinds of rotations in the preseason. You really didn't get a feel for what this team was going to be. Boston's played together. These guys have played, you know, they've been together now for a couple of years. The Pacers, they've made a few changes, but, I mean, the core of that team's been together now for a little bit. Why are we playing so well right out of the gate, man? That's preparation, that's coaching, and that's an attitude. I mean, that's a winning attitude.
Mark, I got a stat for you, all right? See if Tibbs has learned anything. So far, I think the Spurs are 3-0. In their starters, in those three games, so there's 15 possible games, right, for the starters. Their starters have played 33 or more minutes twice, 2 out of 15 potential games, okay? 2 out of 15. Take a guess what the starters have played 33 or more minutes for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Holy
in two God. Games. In two games.
Has there been an overtime,
then,
though?
They had
an overtime.
Well, how many starters in two games?
This is insane. Have they had an overtime, man?
No, they haven't. In 10 possible
really?
Games. In 10 possible games,
oh,
right, because their starters play, you know, obviously there's five
yeah.
starters. So there's 10
wow.
possible games. Take a guess how many times all their starters have played 33 or more minutes.
Well, I'm looking at their averages right now. And
9 out of 10.
They're averaging over 35 minutes a game.
Well, 9 out of 10. Yeah, 9
oh
out of 10.
Oh, my God.
So,
wow.
So just think about that. The Spurs, three games, two guys have played 33 or more minutes out of 15 possible games. The Minnesota Timberwolves, five starters, 9 out of 10 possible games, have played 33 or more minutes. The only guy who played less than 33 minutes was Rubio. He played 28 in the second game. So my point is, when the season ends, and, you know, hopefully, I wish Tib all the best. I hope he makes the playoffs, and their team looks lethargic and tired, and they got a ton of injuries. Everybody's going to say, man, you know, bad luck again. The heck, it's not bad luck. It's your coach. Running your starters, running your best players into the ground. And you know what? You might have a better regular season record. Right now it's not showing. I'm sure they're going to be fine. I'm sure they'll probably end up with Reno right around 8th or 7th, 6th seed in playoffs. But when it comes to playoff time, that guy's never going to win. He's never going to take them to the next level. So keep on acting like we lost somebody really, you know, really. There was nothing we could do. You know, he fire guard packs. We should have stuck with Tibbs. Guy hasn't learned to sing. So
God, honest, Carl Anthony Towns is averaging 37 minutes a game. You know what? I bet
as a center,
insane statistic. As I bring this up here, I'm going to bring up the league leaders in minutes per game so far, and I bet you that they're like all on that team. They've got to be like that. That's just crazy. That's crazy talk, Fred.
Well, that's not crazy. I've been impressed that he hasn't played 40 minutes yet. Last year, Towns had taken 82 games. He played all 82 games. He had six games of 40 or more minutes. I honestly thought he'd have six games of 40 or more minutes in the first, you know, 60 days under Tibbs. So far he's managed to keep him out of that range. But we'll see. You know, I'm sure it's coming, especially if they keep on losing. You know, keep on losing like this. So they're 0-2.
In the top 25, you've got pretty much the whole starting lineup is in the top 25 in minutes per game played. But also, you have teams that have played overtime games and stuff so far. There's only two games. So it's like you have teams that have had overtimes and things that have, you know, extended games. But the fact that you're playing everyone as much as, you know, LeBron James has played and as much as, you know, I mean, James Harden. I mean, it's insane the amount of guys. I mean, I'm looking at this list right here, and I don't see any team that has multiple guys in the top 20. I don't see it.
Yeah, of course.
Not more than two. For sure,
so
not more than
two. He hasn't learned a thing.
Because he has no bench.
Yeah, exactly.
I
thought everybody was going to sign with him. He's such a winner. Everybody's going to want to play for Tom Thibodeau. And, nobody signed with him. Except garbage.
Oh, just wait. This is going to be now where he... And, you know, Fred, I'm sure that both fans get upset or get annoyed by us continuing to talk about this. But the fact is that there's a lot of haters that are still talking about it. So it's like you still hear about it. And I think this is going to be the year where we shut them up. Because obviously Hoiberg had a rough year last year. But if this continues the way that we're playing right now, there's no way under any circumstance the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to win as many games as us. There's no way. And maybe they can turn it around and make the playoffs. I don't think so. But maybe they can. But the fact is that the Bulls look to be like one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference right now.
Totally agreed. And there's no doubt to me, if Lopez and Taz remain healthy, I think they'll continue at this pace. I think they'll win 50 or more games. But if they lose one of those two guys, it's going to take a pretty significant downward turn, in my opinion, just because on the interior defense is just so important. And after those two guys, I'm not a big fan of anybody on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to interior D. So that's the big question, you know. And they're going to lose games. They're going to have bad streaks. And I'm sure we're going to hear about it from, you know, all the haters out there. It's going to happen. You know, that's what happens in basketball. But overall, I'm very glad they went in this direction. Overall, I think if they remain healthy, this team's going to be an incredibly, incredibly tough out when the time comes. So we'll see what happens.
Let's see what happens, Fred. I know your beloved Cubs right now. I mean, there's greater fish to fry at the moment for most people in Chicago. So I'm sure, I have been paying crazy attention to the Bulls, but it's been kind of annoying everyone that I'm trying to communicate with about it because nobody yet has really begun to think about the Bulls yet. So hopefully by the time the Cubs hopefully win the World Series, people are going to be like, oh, wait, the Bulls are really good too, because certainly the Bears are letting everybody down. So hopefully, Fred, you get your Game 6 win tomorrow night. I really think if the Cubs win tomorrow, I mean, obviously it's Game 7. I mean, I'm kind of speaking the obvious here, but if they can win tomorrow, which I think they have a really good chance. They have a hell of a chance in Game 7 because you're going up against a pitcher that's been pitching a lot.
Let's hope so, Mark. Baseball is such a funny sport when you think about it. They're one hit away. Baez gets a hit on Friday in the ninth inning. They win that game. They're one hit away from going up 3-2 and heading back to Cleveland, you know? So it's a very fine line in baseball. It's a great sport. I love the sport. Very fine line between winning and losing. And, anything could happen. You know, I just hope if they're going to lose, I just hope they lose tomorrow. I don't think I'm going to be able to take it if they win tomorrow and somehow lose in the last, final inning scenario in Game 7. My stomach's not going to be able to take it, or my heart.
I don't know, man. Game 7s are fun. They're fun for the sport. Like, wouldn't you rather see the Cubs be competitive and go down in 7 than go down in 6? I mean, like, because obviously if they go down in 6, you know, they kind of fell apart early in the series. But if they're able to come back, then it's like, all right. I mean, like, they made this a series. And, you know, there were some interesting things people were saying where they may have been a little taken aback by the response of the fans. Because the fans in Chicago obviously aren't cheering when the Cleveland's batting. And they're going absolutely batshit crazy when the Cubs are batting. And it's not going to be like that in Cleveland. It's not like that in Cleveland. I mean, it's a lot more similar to what the environment they're used to be playing in this year. The fans in Chicago have been absolutely insane, which, you know, God bless them. I know they want this win, but good Lord, man. I mean, it seems like they were a little shell-shocked at Wrigley.
I don't know if that was it. I think it had a lot more to do with the Indians pitching, which, I mean, this Cleaver is just, unbelievable. I've never seen a guy with that much movement, especially on a left to right, for a right-handed pitcher on left to right. Insane. You know, so that's a really hard thing as a former baseball player. If you don't know if the pitch comes out from the same slot, if they're going to be a right to left slider or a left to right, you know, cutter, that's a very tough scenario to be in because you're going to be outside, you're going to look bad, or it's going to be breaking your hand. So that guy scares me. And, obviously, so does Miller. So let's just hope they win. No, I mean, imagine how great it would be for the city if they could pull this off. You know? It'd be insane. It'd be insane.
And that's how if they're going to win, that's how they're going to do it, right? I mean, if the Cubs are going to win after 107 years, that's the way they're going to do it. So hang in there, buddy. It'll be a good game tomorrow.
All right, brother. All right, man.
All right.
Have a good one.
Next time, Friday. If it ain't Bulls,
it ain't basketball. Talk to you later, brother.
Damn right. Later. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.